Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to Football Week 2012. That's right, everything is now done. It's time to start talking about football and the games that are going to be played on the field, not the mess of the last several months. Penn State takes on Ohio on Saturday here on WKOK. 10:30 for the tailgate show start. Kickoff is at noon at Beaver Stadium. Should be an interesting day at Beaver Stadium. First time that we've seen Coach Bill O'Brien lead the Nittany Lions out on the field. It'll also be a first time that people have really been to the stadium in droves without the Joe Paterno statue. Sure, emotions are going to be very high. And I know a lot of people that I've talked with over the last several weeks just want the opportunity to support the team and support the players, and especially those ones that have decided to stick around through all of this, through the thick and thin, and just through the mess that has been the last several months. But it's finally time to just think about X's and O's and football execution and things like that, and not all the things that have surrounded it. High school football gets underway as well. A host of games across the Pennsylvania Heartland Athletic Conference and across the state as well. One of the more interesting matchups, a new style offense in Mount Carmel, and a new coaching staff and a new style offense and defense at Shikellamy. So it'll be interesting to talk a lot about that. We'll have Coach Carmen DeFrancesco on the program on Thursday as we preview the high school games for the following Friday. So again, Carmen will be joining us from the Silver Bowl in Mount Carmel on Thursday night. And that game will be at the Silver Bowl on Friday, which is the 80th anniversary of the Silver Bowl. Now, they didn't actually start playing games there till mid-September, like around the 10th or 11th at that point in the 30s, 32. But they actually finished the Silver Bowl on August 31st, 1932. And that's when the stadium officially got done. The official first game wasn't until like mid-September that particular year. But they'll be celebrating the 80th anniversary of the Silver Bowl in Mount Carmel, one of the real jewels of high school football. I mean, you talk about not only the fact of its longevity being around since the 30s. There's not too many of those stadiums left, but the fact of all the games that have been played there, all the wins Mount Carmel have had over the years, most of which coming at the Silver Bowl in Mount Carmel, and the very unique end zone seats that I can remember many years being filled from top to bottom, and then, of course, all the big bleachers all the way up and down the sidelines on both sides of the field being filled as well. But those end zone seats, one of the unique things in this region when it comes to high school football stadiums. So that will be my pleasure to actually be broadcasting that game on the 80th anniversary of the Silver Bowl in Mount Carmel. So that's some of the things that will be coming up in the next few days here on the Steve Jones Show. Also tomorrow, we'll be taking a final look at the Little League World Series. Lance Van Auken from the Media Relations Department and the Vice President there will be talking with us about the historic Little League World Series, the Uganda team making it to the Little League World Series, first African team to be a member of the championship run at the Little League World Series. Then they win a game as well. We'll be talking about all the home runs this year, lots of them, over 70 home runs throughout the tournament. After a little bit of a fall off over the last couple of years, the kids have really brought out the bats. We saw that in the championship game as well yesterday between the Southeast and Japan, Tennessee and Japan. We'll talk about the most RBIs ever in a Little League World Series game. That was 9. That was done in the U.S. Championship game. The most runs scored in a Little League World Series game, also in the same game. Can you imagine 9 RBIs, a Little Leaguer with 9 RBIs, 3 three-run home runs in that game, 24 runs total the team from Tennessee scored to actually make it to the final. And I told you earlier in the week, I thought Texas and Tennessee were the two best teams in the U.S. bracket. I thought the question of Texas's pitching, they have a lot of depth, but they played a lot of games in the tournament. Tennessee had some outstanding hitting, and they showed that up and down the tournament. But Japan, I still said, was the best overall team hitting and pitching, and they showed that with a 10-run rule game yesterday for the Little League World Series championship. So all that will be recapped in great detail with Lance coming up tomorrow here on the Steve Jones Show. Later on this week, Coach Bill O'Brien of the Penn State Nittany Lions, and we'll also talk with the play-by-play voice of Ohio University. That'll be coming up later on, too. So every day during, every week, during the football season, we'll have Thursdays dedicated to pretty much high school football and high school talk. We'll have a lot of the guys calling in that broadcast the games here on the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation tell us about the matchups and those teams. So you'll get full coverage of Shikellamie, Lewisburg, Milton, and the Selins Grove Seals. Plus, we'll cover games from the northern tier as well. And up in the Williamsport area with Loyal Sox. So we'll try and get you full coverage of the Heartland Conference every single Thursday. And then Friday, we'll dedicate it to college football and looking at not only the area college teams, including Bucknell. We're also going to give you a look at Susquehanna's matchups, the Bloomsburg Huskies matchups, and, of course, the Penn State Nittany Lions. So fall football season in full swing, and we are getting geared up for it here on the Steve Jones Show. Today's edition of the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Find out more details about Purdy Insurance at purdyinsurance.com. Steve will be with us in a moment from the Sunbury Motors studio, and then we'll light up the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. The number again, 1-800-795-9565. You can also email if you're listening online and can't call in at work, and you have the headphones on so you're not disturbing anybody at work. All you have to do is email us, stevejones@wkok.com. We'll answer your questions there. And another way you can listen to the Steve Jones Show and not bother anybody or get in trouble at work, you could plug in to your cell phone. If you have the TuneIn Radio app, just punch up WKOK on the TuneIn Radio app, and you can listen on your cell phone. One of the many ways you can catch the Steve Jones Show, as well as the archives at stevejonesshow.com.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you can make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to our planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives. Professional, certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. 4th Street in Sunbury and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar, go to lenapesolar.com. Great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. It is game week. The Nittany Lions are not practicing today. Today is the first day of practices, a first day of classes. No practice today for Penn State. They did not practice yesterday as well. They will be back on the practice field tomorrow. Bill O'Brien has his press conference tomorrow. So we have a lot going on here over the next, 13 weeks. Depth chart released today. One of the key parts of the depth chart I wanted to see as to what they want to do, but we'll see how it ends up in practicality and practice is Adrian Amos at corner and not at safety. And Malcolm Willis made a return to practice late last week. That was big, very big. And Jacob Fignato made the return to practice last week as well, also big. So that has changed the depth quotient in the secondary immediately, although I'll say this, the freshman made a big difference right away in the depth of the secondary and changed practice around when they got in there. So our number 1-800-795-9555 and a depth chart for you because there are some interesting things to put on waivers. Everybody. They withdraw claims, they withdraw. So
I had Saturday, I thought, wow, this
is the sports reporting today and or assumption in sport today is done on mythology. You can't determine what the missing link is until after you give them a couple weeks together. They may not have any missing links right now.
But they're definitely playing for the now. They're definitely playing for the now.
Well, no, I disagree with that. That's not true.
You think they
that's
can,
not true. They,
you think they can hang on to that much salary?
Sure they can. They're loaded. They're loaded.
All right. Well, all right. I'm looking at it from a different angle, but I understand what you're saying, though. I'm looking at it from the standpoint that that's an awful lot of money to be spending on those contracts right now.
But they have it. See, that's the difference. That's why people, when they were bought by this group, people said, uh-oh, this is the Yankees of the West. Because they're loaded. They're loaded with cash. Crawford, that's one of the great salary dumps of all time. It's like, I'd have driven him out there myself.
By the way, Billingsley was the pitcher I was trying to think of when I was kind of stuttering there. Billingsley's the one that's been has issues over the last couple of weeks and is on the DL again.
Right. So, they end up getting Crawford and all this. And that's a big, and that's a big plus for them.
Got it. I love that particular line, but you're right. A couple of days ago, but I cleared it up.
Right. Well, that's what I was trying to point out the other day when you say, waived. Well, they didn't waive Beckett. They traded him. Can't be dealt unless you clear waivers. Okay. You can't be dealt unless you clear waivers. And that's how they worked this out. They got all those guys to clear except Gonzalez, who got claimed. And the idea was is that nobody was going to pick up Gonzalez until the Dodgers, because the Dodgers would be down the claim line. They're deeper into the, they're deeper into, it goes by where you are in the standings. So whomever has the worst record gets the first chance to claim. Go ahead.
I was going to say 8 of the 25 players on the Dodgers active roster right now have been trades since the end of July.
Well, then that's what the ownership came in. Started with him. But see, the ones before July 31st, you don't need waivers. And Beckett had to approve it. His deal is a 10-5 guy. So Beckett did approve the trade. So Beckett had veto power because he's been in the majors 10 years and he's been with the Red Sox 5 years. Because he joined them in 2005.
I want to go back to Boston one more time. Did Ortiz go on the DL today for the Achilles tendon?
I thought he came off the DL.
Or I'm sorry. He was scheduled to come off. I'm sorry. No. Yeah. They said they might put him back on the DL. He was scheduled to come off, but he might have to go back on.
Yeah, I know that's he's not playing. That I do know. He's not playing today.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it was.
That. He's not playing today.
He was supposed to come back off, but they may have to put him back on. That's the way it goes.
What's left of the team is playing today.
What's left of the team and the AAA team that moved up?
Well, you still have Pedroia. you still have, okay, you still have Pedroia. You still have Ellsbury, Lester, Saltalamacchia. Ortiz is still sort of there. But it's a very poorly put together unit right now.
No, actually, they just got word they put him back. I just looked at Sports Illustrated. They have him back on the DL 15 days starting today.
Yeah, well, his season's over. They're yep. not going to they're not going to let him do anything. They're not going to let him do anything. And I don't blame him. Why bother? You know, what, you know, what's the difference between being 1,000 games out of first and 900? So.
You and I have something in common, brother.
No,
it's called football season right now.
No. You know what? But people said to me, oh, your team. Hey, you know what? I never thought my team would win in my lifetime. They won twice in the last decade. Okay. What they do, they do. I mean, first thing I'd do is I'd find somebody who's actually, you know, they have a guy that's a genius as a manager, but is 180 degrees this side of a genius in terms of people skills.
He might be the next person to be, well, maybe not traded, but released.
No, the Dodgers don't want him. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. We continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Don't forget, we're brought to you today by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Go to purdyinsurance.com, Market Street in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Our number 1-800-795-9565 and the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. We are at the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors is located at 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, today's show being brought to you by our great friends. It was great to see them last week. Purdy Insurance at Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to purdyinsurance.com. They will take really great care of you. Long reputation for great service in the area. Shamokin's our next stop at 1-800-795-9565, and Brian is our next caller. Hi, Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Steve.
How are you doing today, Brian? It's great to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Steve. Hey, I saw on the Patriot News yesterday that what's the reasoning behind them, the team coming in earlier now instead of like they used to come like 2 hours or like an hour and a half before the game?
Because they're going to dress in the stadium instead. That's the big difference. The big difference
okay.
is that they used to dress at Lash Building. And then what would happen is the managers would then transport all the clothing over for them. What they're going to do is they're going to set up the locker room with all the uniforms in it and the pads and everything like that. And the players are going to arrive in jackets and ties between 9:15 and 9:30. And then they're going to get off the bus, and then they're going to go into the locker room, and there they're going to get dressed and then go on the field.
Hey, that's great because that's I know some other schools do that, too. They come in their ties and stuff.
Yeah,
I know. Alabama does that. Yeah. So okay, and then the fans can still see them when they come in and everything, right?
Fans will still see them. You just have to build it in a little bit earlier in your day. Between 9:15 and 9:30 is when the team is going to get off those buses, the blue buses, and then walk into that area, past the Grove, and then down into the locker room area, and then they'll get their uniforms on. Because it used to be, if you notice, they got off the bus all carrying their pads. And also in their jerseys already, that's not the case. They're going to need that extra hour to get in there, get settled, get dressed, have a meeting, then go out.
Yeah, because doesn't the gates open at 8?
Parking lots are open at 7, and I think the gates
in the stadium
open at 10 o'clock.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure because the Temple game's still up in the air because that's the game I'm going to.
Right, Temple game still up in the air, but 2 hours before kickoff is when they open the gates of the stadium. So say, for example, it's a 3:30 game, the gates open at 1:30. Yeah. If the game's at noon, they open at 10.
All right. And all. Hey, that gives me an extra chance to come see you and hit Jack Hamm in the head.
I don't think I'd do that.
Well,
oh,
Brian,
no, you know, well,
a reason
no,
for me,
but, hey,
a reason for me to live.
Oh yeah, no. You know, I'm only fooling around there, but I wasn't surprised to see that. I saw the depth chart too today, and I wasn't surprised that the freshman that Coach O'Brien said that would be on the team. Well, they made it, and then Mr. Butterworth.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they're all right there in the thick of it. Yeah. And there are a couple of others in there, too, that are going to that might see some action early. Jake Kiley is one I think that's going to see some action. And I think that Jordan Lucas may see some action as well, because some of these guys ended up on special teams, too. Naeem Wortman is another guy I think that you're going to see on special teams.
Yeah, number five. Yeah, I know that. Yes. And hopefully Mr. Butterworth will. If we do have to punt this year, let's hope so. And all I can say this year, Steve, with all that's happened the last few years, you know, with the happening and everything, you know, if they win a few games, they win. The main thing is they play hard. That's what counts.
And they will play hard. That part I'll guarantee.
You better believe it. I'm a fan no matter what. People can say what they want, you know, and whatever. Hey, real quick question. I know Ohio State's not eligible for the championship. Are they allowed to go to a bowl game this year?
No, they are not. That's the reason the reason they're not eligible for the championship is the same reason at Penn State. If you are ineligible for a bowl game, you cannot play for the championship because the Big Ten cannot risk you winning it.
Yeah. Okay. Right?
And then forfeiting the spot.
Yeah. I thought I saw something about that. I just wanted to make sure. Well, you guys have a great show, and like I said, I hope it's a great season. And most of the predictions I've seen is 6-6 or 7-5. It'd be nice to see him go undefeated. Well, you never know. But I'll definitely say hi to you at the Temple game, buddy.
I can't wait to see you, Brian. It'll be great, and I'll tell Jack Cam to wear a hat that day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I'll take my hat off, too, and you can see my head. Because most of the hats on Facebook, my head's all covered. All right, you take care, buddy. And tell Kevin I said hi, and you guys have a great show.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it very much. All right, our number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. And that depth chart was released today. So was the Ohio. It's funny because the first thing came up, right? And the depth charts were out there. Guess which depth chart I looked at first?
Ohio.
Yep.
I figured. Because you were pretty set on the other depth chart. You had that pretty much in your head already.
Yep. Feel good about that one. It's like, as I told you, I think I pretty much outlined the depth chart for everybody on Friday, didn't I?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it was Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, and this, you know, and it turned out that way. So,
switching over to the pro side, Steelers lose David DeCastro, maybe for the season, after the knee injury over the weekend.
Right.
No official word yet, but Tomlin said it was not severe.
He did not tear the ACL.
He did not what?
But he did not tear the ACL.
Okay.
He tore the MCL, partial of the PCL, and the kneecap. He did not tear the ACL.
But it looks like he's going to have surgery no matter what.
Oh, yeah. No, he has to have surgery. And that means Willie Colon, he's in. So, it's a big change for the Steelers. That's not the offensive line they want to have.
No.
It's not the offensive line they wanted to have, but that's a tough blow for him. A tough break.
Well, he was going to be a starter.
And,
there was
He was going to be a starter.
He was a starter. And I thought that was probably the steal of the draft for the Steelers. Pardon the pun.
And this is the kind of injury to an offensive lineman you do not expect.
Unfortunately, though,
you don't expect.
You know, while he can sit and have a chat with Max Starks about it, they had to say he's had a knee injury similar to that. So, you know, maybe he can get some tips on how to quickly rehab. And of course, Leftwich had one of those. More common with a guy like Byron Leftwich than a lineman. So, at least there's some guys you can get some tips.
Right. Yeah. And so that's very tough for them. They have to now make adjustments in their offensive line. It's not what they wanted to do. And, Now, the Penn State depth chart, in case you missed it, and this is all, you know, a lot of this is in flux. Offensive line would be left tackle would be Donovan Smith, and he'd be backed up by Cadogan. Right tackle would be Mike Farrell or Adam Gress, one of the two. Okay, and then you get to center, it'd be Matt Stankavich, Angelo Mangiero. I told you about how he moved back to center last week. He's the backup. John Urschel, backed up by Shrive. And then the left guard is Diefenbach, backed up by Mangiero. So Mangiero would be the backup at both spots. Quarterback, Matt McGloin. Then it's Paul Jones or Stephen Bench at number two. No reaction?
Not yet.
Okay.
Should I have reacted?
Well,
were you expecting
a
reaction?
A lot of people thought Paul Jones would be solidly entrenched as two instead of or, but I've seen differently, so I know.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, he's got a little bit of maturing to do, and I think once he does that, I think he is going to be a more solid player.
He's never played in a game.
That's one of the things that would be a plus, yes, in maturity.
Running back, yep, running back, Bill Belton, one, Derek Day, two, and then Akeel Lynch or Zach Zwenek or Curtis Dukes. Fullback, Michael Zordich, then Pat Zerbe. You'll see Zerbe, by the way, in short yardage as a wingback. The Y tight end is Gary Gilliam and Jesse James. F tight end, Kyle Carter, Brian Irvin, then Brent Wilkerson. Also the tight end at Y and F, though, is Matt Lehman. So really, Gilliam, James, Carter, and Lehman are the four tight ends, okay? I think we've just bottomed out for you. Wide receiver, Allen Robinson, great preseason for him. Eugene Lewis behind him, Matt Zanellato. Shawnee Kersee, who did get back to practice on Thursday, or Trevor Williams, the true freshman, backed up by Christian Kuntz or Brandon Mosby-Felder. Alex Kenny or Evan Lewis is that slot, backed up by Malik Golden or Jonathan Warner. Defense, Deion Barnes or Pete Maceros. We know Pete's been at a little minor setback, and it's only minor with his knee. Expect Barnes to be the guy there. Zettel's the third. Defensive tackle, Daquan Jones or James Terry, but Daquan Jones will start. And then Austin Johnson's in that mix, too, as a third. And then Jordan Hill or Kyle Boblitz. Sean Stanley, it'll be Jordan Hill, then Kyle Boblitz, then Sean Stanley, then C.J. Alania. Outside linebacker, Michael Motti, backed up by Ben Klein. Middle linebacker, Glenn Carson, backed up by either Michael Yancich or Naeem Wortman. Wortman's had most of the reps lately. Yancich battled a minor injury. Gerald Hodges, backed up by Mike Hull. And here's the key part right here. Adrian Amos, a corner, not listed as safety. Backed up by Jesse Della Valle, and the third is Jordan Lucas. The other corner is Stephon Morris, backed up by Daquan Davis. Safety, Malcolm Willis, got back into action middle of last week. Big plus, backed up by Ryan Kaiser, Stephen Obeng Archibong, or Jake Fignano. Fignano got back last week and was full go as well, but I'll say this, Obeng Archibong's had a very good preseason. Special teams, Alex Butterworth is the punter, Sam Fickens the place kicker, the holder's Evan Lewis, Ryan Kaiser also can hold, Emery Edders the kick snapper, and the kick returners are still to be determined. That's your depth chart. All right, let's see. We go, first of all, to Rich in Williamsport. Hi, Rich. Thanks for waiting. Great to have you with us.
No problem. Great show. I just got one quick question. Maybe you can tell us, or maybe you don't know. I don't know either. If Penn State wins the flip, are they going offense or defense?
That's a great question. Yeah, I'm going to give you a guess, and here's my guess. Okay? My guess is that Penn State will take the ball because most pro-style coaches have that NFL mentality that they want the ball. Kirk Ferentz has only not accepted the ball, I think, like 7 or 8 times his entire career at Iowa. Most pro coaches, when they win the flip, like the ball.
Do you think he had, well, I'm sure he has the plays already predetermined which ones he's going to call and go with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Correct?
Right. Well, yeah, they'll script the first part of the game. I'll ask him in the pregame show, in fact, how many plays he likes to idealistically script. But they will script. He has gone through the preseason. One of the things that he wanted to do, Randy, in the preseason was to throw a lot at them. And Ted Roof did the same thing on defense. They wanted to put a lot at the players over the first 2.5 weeks, and then they wanted to see what would stick and then what wouldn't. And then that's determined exactly what the package is.
Right. Do you know, I heard or I read that they wanted to go through a practice or a scrimmage like it's an actual game. Guys with headphones on, guys in a booth, guys on the field, that's going to be where they're going to be during a game. And do you have any insight into how that went and how everybody adjusted to it? The coaches, I mean.
They did that on Saturday, August the 18th in the stadium. They had everything set up where everybody was on headsets and calling plays on headsets with guys in the box. It went very well, very smooth. No glitches whatsoever, and they did an exact game day setup with which coaches would be in the box and which ones would be on the field, and they did that on August the 18th.
Are they going to, or did they time, or who calls the plays up in the press box or somebody on the field?
Bill O'Brien will be calling all the plays. He'll be doing so on the field. He'll have input from guys in the box, but Bill O'Brien will call all the plays himself offensively on the field. Ted Roof will call all the defenses himself. He'll also be stationed on the field.
Well, it seemed like, well, years past, it always took a long time to get the play in, you know, and mm-hmm. I hope that is different, you know, from here on out, you know.
Well, the 40-second clock, that's been no issue at all in recent years for Penn State. With the 40-second clock, has been zero issue. I can't really recall. I can recall maybe one delay game the last, 4 years since they put the 40-second clock in, so it hasn't been a problem there. But with what Bill wants to do, he's like a chess master. He's thinking 1-2 plays ahead. He pretty much has in his mind exactly where he wants to go and why. He's very quick getting the play in. They did get a delay of game, by the way, in the scrimmage. They did get a delay of game in the scrimmage, as a matter of fact, but that one fell on Matt McGloin, and because Bill already had the play in and set to go, and it just took Matt too long to get in there, because you have to be prepared with personnel, too, and they're very good with that. So Bill will call all the plays on offense. He's very quick in what he wants to do. He doesn't take moments to think about it. He's already a step ahead as to where he wants to go, and Ted Roof will call the defenses, and he also will be stationed on the field.
Yeah, and I think that's his pro mentality. You have to be like that. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot. Great show as always, Steve. Thank you.
Rich, thanks so much. The other part, too, is that they have to get the plays in. It's not like the NFL, by the way, because he can tell the play into the headset of Brady. He can't do that here. Let's go to Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave. Thank you for waiting.
Hi, Steve.
How are you, Dave?
Okay. Well, there's two things. One is, well, we had Bobby Valentine in the beginning of his career.
Yeah.
That's where he started.
Right.
You say, we don't need him anymore.
Well, I don't want him anymore. He can, you know, he can ride into the sunset back to ESPN. He can talk to Carl Ravage all he wants.
Or he can go over to Tokyo again.
He was very successful there. Very successful there. But I think he's found out that Boston is not they're not the Tokyo Giants.
Well, the way he runs the show, he had to figure one thing. I don't know. Japan baseball is not the same as over here. They're professionals, you know, here in the States compared to, I don't, you know, because a lot of guys come over from over there, you hear about it, that, you know, I don't know, it's just the outset, you know, the way it's set up is different than over here.
Well, the athlete's different. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, they like to get a lot of bigger players from the United States to play in Japan because they want to play for the big inning, the three-run homer. A little bit different here as to how they play. The personalities are different. And sometimes, you know, Bobby Valentine did a very good job of meshing with the Mets in the year 2000 when they made the World Series and then lost in 5 games to the Yankees. He just hasn't been able to find the right balance and mesh in Boston. Now, maybe with the turnover in the roster, he might be able to. But so far it hasn't happened. They also fired the pitching coach, Bob McClure.
Well, you got to wait and see how that all shakes out.
Yes, we do.
Well, see, with mine, I'd be honest, all that money they're taking on, that's sort of kind of a, well, it's shooting for the moon.
You either hit it or the Dodgers are doing. Yep.
And if you don't, well, because there's so much money there, they're going to, like you said, some guy made a comment that they're becoming the Yankees of the West.
Well, that's what they want to do. They want to take the money and make them make themselves the Yankees of the West, where they can give themselves every option possible.
Well, I know that TV deal's coming up, so.
So, I mean, but they have to make it first. They're still a game and a half out of the wild card. They're not even there yet, so they have a long way to go in this thing.
That's what in some ways, I'm kind of leery about this whole deal, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, well, we'll see. I mean, Adrian Gonzalez is going to be a huge plus for them. He'll hit 300 down the stretch. I wouldn't doubt that he knocks in 25, 30 runs for them over the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, well, the last 2.5 games, Epier has went in the tank. He hadn't hit nothing. So I'm just saying, you know, if he hits a single or a double and nobody on base, that don't mean spit.
Right.
There he's out there, you know. You got to have people on there in front of him.
Well, and you will need guys in front. There's no doubt, and that's what they're going to have to do. And for Matt Kemp, obviously, having a guy hit behind him like Gonzalez, again, another big plus. I think Gonzalez could drive in 25, 30 runs for them down the stretch, and he could be the swing guy that wins it for him. But right now, they're not only not in first place, but they're also not in the wild card, so they have to somehow hit stride here. And they're a team that, for whatever reason, has not been able to hit stride, even though that they're a club that had the single most favorable schedule in the majors up until July 20th. They didn't play a single. They only played 4 games in the Eastern time zone up until July 20th. They had everything on their side of the country, so time-wise and body-wise, they're always in pretty good shape.
Yeah, well, in the second half now, Frisco's getting all the... Because they've already said about it, you know, that they're got an easy road down the stretch. So you got to get ahead of them. And the only way you can do that is when you play them head on, you got to sweep them. You can't just leave, you know.
Right.
Because that's how San Francisco so far ahead of L.A. They just took them, swept them, get the brooms out, and away they went.
Yeah, Hunter Pence has been very good for the Giants, and Posey's been the best hitter in the second half of the season. He's hitting .402. Dave, I have to take a break here. All right. Coming up to the top of the hour, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy Insurance, located on Market Street in Sunbury, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.